This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August, and today we're talking to Anne Watts, and we're going to be talking about financial intimacy and freedom for couples. Anne Watts co-created and leads a workshop called Financial Intimacy and Freedom for Couples. She's been doing it for more than 7 years. Anne is a counselor who works with couples and individuals in personal growth and has been doing that for decades. She creates and leads a workshop called Healing the Inner Child. She also created and leads a workshop called The Art of Aging. She's a workshop leader and facilitator for the Human Awareness Institute in leading workshops in love, intimacy, and sexuality, and has been doing that for more than 20 years. Anne is actually one of the people who trained me to lead workshops, and I feel really privileged to have her here.
Spencer maintains that everyone knows everything they need to know about money. We've all heard it, we've all learned it, you can learn it really fast. But even the most experienced financial people, knowing what they know, act on impulse rather than what they know. But here's the thing, when people have different stories about money, their different programming, what they'll do, like one spends money easily, that was true in my case, and the other doesn't. Okay, so now we don't, now there's that bump, you know. So the one who spends easily starts spending secretly. The more open we can be, the more honest, the more truthful, our sexuality opens up because there's a deeper bond of intimacy. The deeper the intimacy, the deeper the truth, the more open and honest the relationship, the better the sex. There's a feeling that people often have, and this is really prevalent among wealthy people. I can never have enough. So, you know, I got $1 million. Well, that's not enough. I need $2 million. Okay, now I got $2 million. I need $5 million. It's never enough because they're being driven by their programming. And another interesting thing is that when you're below the poverty level, more money makes a difference. When you're above the poverty level, more money doesn't necessarily make any difference at all. And often it makes things worse.
Welcome to the show, Anne Watts.
Hi, Chip. I'm happy to be here with you.
So today we want to talk about financial intimacy, and I just those two words together, okay? I don't think I've ever seen those two words together, financial and intimacy. What does financial intimacy mean?
Well, one of the things that my co-leader, Spencer Sherman, and I figured out was that couples are more likely to talk about their sexuality with each other than they are to talk about money. When they meet, when they're first dating, even well into their relationship, they don't really talk about money. It's frequently an area of great pain, an area of fighting, discord. And so what we've created is a workshop where people discover what are our emotional hooks about money, because that's what drives us. Spencer maintains that everyone knows everything they need to know about money. We've all heard it. We've all learned it. You can learn it really fast. But even the most experienced financial people, knowing what they know, act on impulse rather than what they know. Why is this? It's because of our emotional hooks. It's because of stories and beliefs that we formed as children, based on experiences around money that drive our emotional plug.
Can you give me an example of like some of the kinds of emotional hooks or stories that people carry that you hear about in the workshops?
Absolutely. So Spencer tells a story about going to his father one day after talking to one of his school chums. He went to his father and he said, "How much money do you make?" And the look his father gave him terrified him. And he got the message loud and clear, you don't talk about money. Okay? Furthermore, the experience of dad would always drive around the block many, many times using lots of gas rather than pay for a parking garage, right? So, you know, like, so money is something you have to hang on to, you have to be tight about, and you don't talk about it. When he met his wife, Janine, they talked about sex on their first date. No problem. They had been together more than 3 years before they ever had a conversation about money. And only then because of some impending really major financial purchase. So that long-held belief was driving his whole experience around money, which puts a wedge between couples, okay? For me, when I was growing up, I grew up mostly, spent a lot of time with my dad. My circumstances were, by and large, very simple, not much money. It was always, there's not enough money, there's not enough money, except that we lived really well. You know, that my dad knew how to live well on little. And so there was a sense of richness about our life with little money. And that's what I kept recreating all my life, right? But here's the thing. When people have different stories about money, their different programming, what they'll do, like one spends money easily. That was true in my case. And the other doesn't. Okay, so now we don't. Now there's that bump, you know. So the one who spends easily starts spending secretly and not telling their partner because they don't want to have the bump, right? What really works is to be able to understand each other's story, where these beliefs came from. Like, that opens us to compassion with each other. And then we look at, what do we really want? What does each of us really want? And we get to a place where we can talk about and be in team about money. My experience is that when we have secrets about money, when we have secrets about anything, our sexuality begins to shut down with each other. The more open we can be, the more honest, the more truthful, our sexuality opens up because there's a deeper bond of intimacy. The deeper the intimacy, the deeper the truth, the more open and honest the relationship, the better the sex.
Yeah, okay. But isn't that just as simple as, so great, when you get together with somebody, you show them your checkbook, they show you their checkbook, and you've answered the question. I mean, what more is there?
What more is there is the ongoing, how do we spend, you know, like, for instance, one partner may spend a lot of money and be in debt. The other partner never goes into debt, okay? Frequently what happens is that the partner who never goes in debt gets really scared. You know, like, if I marry you, now I'm responsible for your debts. Wow. If I think this is going to go on and go on, I watch my money disappearing, and it freaks me out. Why would I marry you? You know, so how can we be in a partnership and make a balance? Okay. And part of how we get there is helping people to stay in love through touch. You know, like, have the hard conversations and then touch each other, stroke each other, look into each other's eyes, and tell each other things you love about each other. Brings them right back to their love. Makes the conversation so much easier. It's like, oh, we can talk about the hard stuff and still be in love. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. So do you notice that there's differences between like, the by gender? I'm listening to you talk and I'm sort of thinking, well, in our culture, it feels like wage earning for men is sort of the way a man proves his manhood. Wage earning for women at least is perceived as the thing they do until they have children. And, you know, and it's like, do you notice that there's differences by gender?
Well, that's a good question. What you're talking about, the stereotype, is frequently so, although nowadays sometimes the woman earns more money than the man. But we also notice in same gender couples that the same, one of them is a bigger wage earner than the other. And so the same issues exist, doesn't matter, okay? And another thing we notice is the partner who has more money often controls through the money. And the partner who doesn't have the money will control through sex. They'll say no to sex. They'll do, you know, like they become manipulative around sex and the other's manipulative around money. There's the power struggle right there. But when people are being really open and honest and in love and form a partnership and form a plan together, they don't have to play those games.
Well, yeah, that whole power struggle between men and women and in couples, between men and men, between women and women, that whole power struggle, boy, that's just at the core of what makes marriages and partnerships fall apart or triumph. This is really great stuff. I want to talk some more, but I want to take a short break, give a chance to support our sponsors. I'm talking to Ann Watts. My name is Chip August. You're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, and we'll be right back.
Listen to Expanded Lovemaking, a weekly internet audio program and podcast for men and women on Personal Life Media. Get advanced techniques that expand your lovemaking bliss.
We're back. You're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August. I'm talking to Ann Watts, and we're actually talking about finances and intimacy, and really financial intimacy and how finances work with couples. And when we took the break, we were talking kind of about the relationship between power and sex and money. And Ann was talking a little bit, I think, about communication, which any of you who are my regular listeners know is one of my favorite subjects and pretty much the story I always come back to. But I'm just kind of wondering, so is that kind of it? You just tell your story and your partner hears their story. You know, you hear theirs, they hear your story, and then you're all better? Or is there more to it than this?
There is definitely more to this. So you tell your story and you notice the emotions that come up around your story. Like with Spencer's story, just intense fear comes up there. So the next step is to let yourself feel the feelings fully and take the story and the thoughts about all of that and just let it go. Let it go. Feel the feelings fully. And when you do that, as you begin to become familiar with the feelings, aware of the feelings, you can unhook the story from the feelings. When you start feeling that feeling, you can stop, take some breaths, slow and deep, and then get it, you know, in that moment. It's like the person who is an addictive shopper, okay? In that moment when you're feeling the feeling that drives you to go shopping, that's a moment to stop, feel the feelings, and take a few slow, deep breaths. And in that moment, the moment you've done that, you've created a disconnect there. I don't know the electrical word that you use for that, but you create that, and then you're not hooked into having to do the thing that you've been doing that isn't healthy for you.
I would assume this takes a fair amount of practice. That I noticed, though, what you call emotional hooks, they can be pretty deep-rooted and pretty hard to change. So I imagine this isn't just as simple as I notice it and I take a deep breath and then I never have this problem again, right? So Anne's shaking her head. No, it's not as simple as all that. Aren't these sort of hooks, these patterns, aren't they programmed so deeply that really, come on, you can't really change them? They're just sort of, that's how you are.
A lot of people would say that, but my experience is that, first of all, it does take commitment. It takes your personal commitment to having it be different. And, you know, why wouldn't I want it to be different? If I'm doing something that's not working in my relationship, it's not working in my life, it doesn't matter whether you're married or not. These are patterns that it's really valuable to get in touch with and change, make a difference. So one way is through the breathing. Okay. Another way is to make affirmations about how you want to be about money. And in couple relationships, one of the things that I like to have couples do is affirm each other and say, you know, you are really good with money. You are really careful around money. You understand money. You take care of yourself well with money. You know, money comes to us easily, you know, that kind of, just to keep affirming what it is that we want to have, the experience that we want. The other piece of it is there's a feeling that people often have, and this is really prevalent among wealthy people. I can never have enough. So, you know, I got $1 million. Well, that's not enough. I need $2 million. Okay, now I got $2 million. I need $5 million. It's never enough because they're being driven by their programming. So getting that enough is enough is a really valuable thing. Finding out, what do we really want? What's really significantly important to us? I have one couple that comes to me, see me, and for a long time, the husband kept saying, the thing that's most important to me is my kids and my wife. Yeah, but the guy was never home. He was always making money, spending money, making money, spending money, never at home. And I looked at him and I said, you say the most important thing are your kids and your wife, but that's not what you're doing. It's not how you're acting. And he got to really start to look at how his deepest heart's desire was not matching up with his actions. And he began to change that so that he spent more time with his kids, you know, like, wow, valuable thing. More time at home, more time with the family, doing more of the thing he said was most important to him, but not what he was doing.
So I'm listening to you talk and I'm thinking of all the different stories that I've heard or are programmed into me. And one that just came up really loud. So I noticed that there's some disconnect between money and spirit in our culture. It feels like we behave as if pursuit of money is the opposite of pursuit of spirituality. Do you see that there's some intersection or relationship between this financial stuff you're talking about and also a healthy spirituality?
Yeah, I do. Because what happens is that when people are earning and spending money, they get caught up in it and they get attached to it. That it's the attachment to the money that becomes a driving force. And now that's where my focus is. And I believe that when we let go of the attachment, it's fine to have enough. It's wonderful to have enough. Everybody deserves to have enough. But not being attached is our freedom. So it's the same thing when we get in touch with the emotions that drive us and we let go of our attachment to that, to the thought behind the emotion. When we let go of that, when we let go of our attachment to the trappings of wealth, to know that if my wedding ring gets lost, it doesn't mean that my wedding is over. You know, I've heard that story so many times. Somebody whose marriage went down the tubes because they lost the wedding ring. Hello, the wedding ring is just a thing. You know, yes, it symbolizes something, but our attachment to what that means is what makes us crazy. To just be present to our lives, to be present in the now, to enjoy what we have, to be in the thrill of it. Wow, that's living, you know, not our attachment to the doing, to make the money, and to the having. Does that answer your question?
So I think what you're saying here is that there's a value in a stated and combined intention, but that we can't attach to that intention, that there's a vision for us, and then there's an acceptance of what's so, and some mix of those two is some path to both a spiritual feeling and an actual intimacy. Is that what you mean?
That's exactly what I mean. You know, and as you're saying that, the image that comes to me is, A, the most important thing to me in my life is my relationship with my husband, with my children, with my grandchildren. You know, that those are the most significant things to me. Whether we have money or not, we have that relationship, and there is so much richness in that. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful, magnificent thing. I notice that often wealthy people are the unhappiest people I know, you know, because it's all about the money. It's all about the show. It's all about, and I counsel people who come from wealthy families, the emptiness, the loneliness of those kids growing up in that environment. The parents are always off doing something out there. They look good in the community. Meanwhile, their kids are starving at home, starving not for things, but for love and attention and time. So giving ourselves that richness, then no matter what, you know, it's like getting the priorities straight. Again, with that guy, you know, and his family, and all he was doing was making money, spending time where it matters most. Often the poorest people are indeed the happiest people, you know? And another interesting thing is that when you're below the poverty level, more money makes a difference. When you're above the poverty level, more money doesn't necessarily make any difference at all. And often it makes things worse.
That's an interesting concept to pause on. This is Chip August. You're listening to Ann Watts, my guest on Sex, Love, and Intimacy. Remember, stay tuned, because in our final segment, Ann's going to give us an exercise, something we can do at home. So you don't want to miss that. We'll be right back.
Listen to Money, Mission, and Meaning. Passion at work, purpose at play. A weekly audio program bringing you success in the business of life on personallifemedia.com.
We're back. I'm Chip August. You're listening to Ann Watts. We're talking about financial intimacy for couples. And Ann, I noticed you've been talking about this person, Spencer Sherman. Who is Spencer Sherman, and why are we talking about him?
I met Spencer Sherman through the Love, Intimacy, and Sexuality workshop many years ago. And he was so much loving what he was getting from the workshops. He said to me, I would like to create with you a workshop about money, because that's the issue that is not being addressed here in these workshops, love, intimacy, and sexuality. So Spencer is a man who is a financial investor who has been listed in Worth magazine for many years as one of the top 100 investment advisors in the country. He is the one who really got in touch with the part of us that is run emotionally by money. And so it's been really, really powerful and lovely. We have a great relationship working together. We have so much fun.
And who comes to these workshops? Who comes to these things?
Couples come, obviously. It's about couples. Couples who are early in their dating come. Couples who've been together for many long years come. Heterosexual couples come. Gay couples come. We have had a triad here. It's not as easy for a triad because the workshop is really designed for couples. But all kinds of people come. And the thing that I love about it is that over the years, people come up to us and tell us how much value they got and how much it changed their life and how great it felt to be able to finally talk about money and not be afraid to do so. And that makes me feel really, really good.
And if one of my listeners wanted to get in touch with you or wanted to know more about the workshops, tell me, how would they do that?
Well, they can go to our website, which is www.financialintimacy.info, or they can call me at 707-789-9278.
That's terrific. And me is Ann Watts. They can call. So Ann Watts at 707-789-9278. Great. I always like to ask my guests, is there a tip, is there advice, is there an exercise that my listeners could do that might help in the subject that you're talking about? So what could somebody take out of this that they could do at home that might help their financial intimacy and freedom?
A lovely thing that I like to encourage people to do is to set up a very peaceful environment for themselves. Maybe light some candles, turn off the phone, really important thing. Maybe even put on some soft music in the background. And then to sit together and take a moment to take a deep breath and just say over and over the word money to themselves. And notice what happens, what comes up. And then maybe talk each one about the feelings that came up. So one will say, these are the feelings that came up for me when I thought about money. And then the other one listens. And without any response, then they take turns. The other person says the same thing, what came up for them. And the listener listens from a place of curiosity, just open curiosity, wanting to know. Then after that, they both take a breath and they think, now, what were my childhood money experiences? And how did I feel about them? And go back in life and notice it, particularly any really strong experiences that happened and what meaning they made of it. And then take turns sharing that. One shares, talks about the experience and the feelings and the meaning they made of it. Okay. And then when they're done with that, they take a little time, they breathe, they feel, and then the other partner can do the same. In that, they get to learn a lot about themselves and each other. Very powerful. The second step to that, then, is to add some gentle touch, gentle caressing, letting the music sort of guide them. And I like to add, while they're doing that touching, giving each other affirmations about how good they are with money. About, you know, I love how good you are about money. I love how we communicate about money. You know, like really creating that thing we talked about earlier, the environment that we want to have about money. And the truth-telling, the deep sharing, and that touching combined takes couples into a really deep place in themselves. So that's the exercise I would recommend.
Well, that definitely sounds like some sweet time together, talking about things that we don't usually talk about and having a little bit of stroking and a little bit of affirmation about who we want to be. So thanks. That's a great idea, Ann Watts. You've been a terrific guest. I want to really appreciate you and thank you for being on the show.
I've enjoyed it. So I also want to mention that Spencer and I have a workshop coming up November 16th, 17th, and 18th at the Sonoma Mountain Zen Center. And if you want to find out more about that, just go to our website, www.financialintimacy.info. I also want to let you know that we are co-authors in an anthology called The Marriage of Sex and Spirit. It's sold on Amazon.com. And our chapter in that book is called Money, the Surprising Aphrodisiac.
Thank you very much, Anne. If you want text and transcripts of this show or any of the shows on the Personal Life Media Network, all you need to do is go to our website, personallifemedia.com, spelled all as one word, personallifemedia.com. If you have comments or information or feedback for me, you can reach me also by my name, Chip August, at personallifemedia.com. And I'm happy to hear your comments and happy to hear your information and would really love to hear from you. That kind of brings us to the end of another show. I really appreciate you listening. My name is Chip August. You've been listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, and I hope you tune in again. Thanks. Bye.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.